well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Eric Pratt from Gun Owners of America here in just a moment or two. You know, GOA involved in multiple lawsuits around the country, but one of the things that they're taking on is the ATF's zero tolerance policy for FFLs, basically using any excuse they can to try to strip federal firearms licensees of their license. At the same time, by the way, the ATF is also working to mandate that many, many gun owners either become FFLs themselves or at least put any buyers of any incidental firearms that they might sell through a background check, right, through the ATF's expansive definition of who is engaged in the business of selling firearms. So on the one hand, they're going after FFLs, trying to shut them down and put them out of business. On the other hand, they're also trying to expand the universe of FFLs. You can see the problem there, right? Yeah. Well, GOA, along with several FFLs, challenging the ATF's zero tolerance policy, which is putting gun sellers out of business for basically minor paperwork errors. These efforts are not just continuing, they are expanding. So we're going to talk about that with Eric Pratt from Gun Owners of America. Take a look and a listen. Eric, thanks so much for your time today. It's great to see you, sir.
It's great to be with you, Cam. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, any day where you can carve out a few minutes to talk with us, I definitely appreciate it because I know how busy y'all are at GOA. And in fact, you've been on the road recently, right? We've talked before about GOA's lawsuits in conjunction with FFLs who are targets of the ATF's zero tolerance policy, right? Joe Biden said, we're going after these bad apple gun dealers. And instead, apparently, you know, you make a minor clerical error on your paperwork and they're going to take away your livelihood. This isn't hype. This isn't hyperbole. This is happening to small business owners across the country right now.
Oh, absolutely. It is. In fact, GOA has multiple cases right now where we are challenging the ATF's zero tolerance policy. And it, as you laid out, it's really pernicious because the Biden administration has weaponized the ATF against our Second Amendment rights. And with that, as you were saying, they're targeting dealers all around the country and putting them out of business at alarming rates. And, you know, as you laid out, Cam, what they do is they find unintentional clerical errors that a dealer commits, and they use that as supposed evidence that the dealer is willfully violating the law. And well, you know, this is why GOA is fighting back against this tyranny, and we are suing the ATF in court. Because look, if gun dealers get forced out of business by the hundreds or by the thousands, you're not going to be able to find places to buy firearms, right? I mean, there goes our Second Amendment rights.
Absolutely. And, you know, then the other side of this coin is while they're going after FFLs under this zero tolerance policy, they're also promulgating this rule expanding who is engaged in the business of selling firearms, right? To encompass basically every gun owner who might sell a firearm or even offer a gun for sale from their personal collection, right? The ATF says you don't even have to complete a sale to be for us to say that you're engaged in the business. So they're trying to expand the number. Really, they're trying to expand the number of background checks that are performed, but they're either going to force people to go to these FFLs that they're trying to shut down or become FFLs themselves, in which case all of a sudden now they open themselves up to all of this ATF scrutiny, right? I mean, it really is, you know, trying to put gun owners and FFLs between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, the ATF is really bipolar because, as you just mentioned, on the one hand, they're encouraging more people to become FFLs so that they can sell just any of their private firearms. But then on the other hand, with existing FFLs, they're trying to put them out of business. I mean, in truth, we actually need zero tolerance for the ATF. They're the agency that allowed thousands of guns to illegally walk into Mexico during Fast and Furious, where innocent people were killed. We need to defund this agency because they are out of control. And I can tell you, Cam, that GOA is working to do that in the Congress, and we're happy to report that the ATF is scheduled to have their funds slashed by over $100 million in the next government funding bill. And to that, we say, bravo, that's a good start, but there's a lot more cutting that needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what is the latest with these lawsuits that GOA is helping, to put on around the country. Where are we in terms of, you know, where these cases stand? Are you still looking for new plaintiffs at this
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm so glad we're talking about this issue today, because one of our cases could really use some additional input from other dealers. And I would ask any dealer who is watching and who's facing the threat of a license revocation, or maybe you know a dealer who's facing this threat, to have them reach out to us. Because here's the problem. A gun dealer will get threatened with revocation of their license. GOA comes in to defend them, like we did just recently in Florida. And then the ATF says, oops, our bad, we won't revoke your license. And then they ask the judge to make the lawsuit go away. And that's exactly what's happening in our Florida case, where the judge is treating our lawsuit as being mooted because the ATF backtracked and decided not to revoke the gun dealer's license. Well, the problem is, as part of this lawsuit, we're actually representing hundreds of other dealers in the suit, and they all still potentially face this zero tolerance threat. But the judge wants a real example of another dealer who is currently being threatened by the ATF. So what I would ask is this: if you're a dealer, and it could be anywhere in the country, doesn't just have to be in Florida, you're in the process of having either your license revoked, or if you recently had your license revoked, please contact Gun Owners of America. You can go to our contact form at gunowners.org, or you can just reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram at Eric M. Pratt. And that's Eric with an H, by the way. But we would love to hear your story. We need to hear your story. Your story can really help save the Second Amendment by giving this judge more examples of real dealers who are getting the screws put to them by the ATF.
And, you know, I got to say, I mean, how underhanded of the ATF, and not surprising, but how underhanded of the ATF to, again, put these FFLs through this process, right? Force them to hire attorneys, spend thousands of dollars. Yeah. And then again, when they defend themselves, and when this has the opportunity to actually be overturned and to set a precedent, right? To start to rein in the agency's abuses. Oh, never mind. Our bad. We're not going to revoke your license after all. I mean,
it's diabolical.
It is. It reminds me of what New York did to try to exactly. avoid, you know, the Bruin decision, right? They we'll change our law. Let's moot this case. We'll still keep all of these, you know, underlying provisions intact. We're still going to make life hell for gun owners. But we're going to try to figure out a way to get this case tossed out of court. It is diabolical and it is underhanded and it should be called out. So hopefully, Eric said, if you know somebody, if you are in this situation, but if you know somebody, if your local gun shop is in this situation, talk to the gun shop owner and say, hey, listen, GOA needs to talk to you. You have the opportunity to help rein in these abuses here by standing up, speaking out, and taking a stand.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, just reach out to me at Eric M. Pratt, Twitter or Instagram, or gunowners.org. We have a contact form. Either way is perfectly fine. This can make a huge difference because basically the judge in Florida is asking for this right now. And we made the point, we've got tons of other dealers who are facing the same threat. And, you know, judges are all about case and controversy. And as you just laid out, Cam, you know, when New York changed their law, as frustrating as that was, they took away the case and controversy, and judges are real stick for good or for bad. They're real sticklers about that. So anyway, he's asking for more examples. Help us give more examples, and that can make a huge difference for everybody across the country. If we're to get a national preliminary injunction bringing this to a halt. By the way, I mean, Gun Owners of America was actually the one the group that found out about zero tolerance, because we're filing all kinds of Freedom of Information Acts. And when we found out about this, we publicized this in order to help warn dealers. Basically, the ATF was going around secretly doing this quietly under the radar. And thankfully, we were able to ferret it out with good attorneys and law clerks that read through all this stuff, you know, that makes a difference. But, you know, it's very sneaky, very underhanded. And, you know, and then when they get caught, it's so diabolical where they'll just say, okay, we won't revoke your license. But you know that if we weren't stepping in there and taking them to court, they would just be, you know, full boot on the neck, grinding them into the pavement. And that needs to stop. And we're wanting to bring it to a halt.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I will say, I don't know anything about this judge, but it is frustrating that the judge is asking for more cases and even buying the ATF's argument that this case should be moot because they're no longer trying to revoke this FFL's license. What's to stop the ATF from doing this again next year? I mean, that's the problem, right? Yeah. They can say, okay, we're going to stop the revocation process. But then next year they can say, oh, you know what? You forgot to cross that T right here. Your employee abbreviated county as CO instead of writing it out. So, you know what? We're going to yank your license again, or at least we're going to start the revocation process all over again.
And Cam, you know what's so frustrating about that? In none of these cases, dealing with these clerical errors where you're putting a number in a wrong place or inverting two numbers, none of it deals with bad guys getting guns, like what the ATF did with Fast and Furious, or what the ATF has done where they've lost track of thousands of firearms from their Martinburg headquarters. Many of them were stolen by rogue agents. They've also made the exact same errors as gun dealers by misspelling their names or writing down wrong information during revocation hearings. So, you know, apparently it's okay for them to make these mistakes or even these gross mistakes where bad guys do end up getting guns. But it's not okay for dealers, you know, to err is human. You know, remember that phrase?
And that's right.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's zero tolerance. And yeah, it has to stop.
Yeah. Rules for thee, but not for me. Right? Exactly. That's the ATF motto here. All right, Eric, listen, before we let you go, I got to ask you, we've got the State of the Union address coming up tomorrow. I cannot imagine that Joe Biden can go an hour and a half. Well, it's going to be a surprise if he can go an hour and a half just standing up. But I also can't imagine that he can go 90 minutes without bringing up a gun ban, without bringing up gun control. Do you think we're going to hear anything new from Joe Biden tomorrow? Do you think he's going to say anything we have not heard before? Maybe make another announcement about an ATF rule? Or is he going to stick to the same tired and stale talking points that we've heard in Soto's past?
Yeah, I imagine he touts all the things that he's done through executive action, the frame and receiver rule, the pistol brace ban, you know, and maybe if there's something new, it's obviously in process. It's what you brought up earlier, the engaged in the business new requirements where now if you just sell a gun for a profit, you're going to have to do a 4473 transaction. The seller, the private seller is going to have to become a gun dealer, and you as a private buyer are now going to have that purchase registered. That's what they're all about, is registering every sale of a firearm. If there's anything new, not that it's new, I mean, you hear them talking about this all the time, but I'm sure he will talk about a quote-unquote assault weapons ban and how we need it. It's so ironic. He'll, even after shootings where a mere handgun or a shotgun was used, he'll use that as a means to call for an assault weapons ban. It kind of reminds me of David Dinkins, mayor of New York City back in the 90s, when a visitor from Utah was stabbed to death on the subway. He called a press conference and said, "This is why we need more gun control." You know, you just can't make this stuff up. Everything leads to more gun control for them. The weather, whatever it is, more gun control is the answer. So, yeah, your instincts are right, Cam. We'll hear some calls for gun control on Thursday night.
Yeah, unfortunately. And gun owners need to remember, I mean, I don't think this is just Joe Biden pandering to the gun control lobby. I think Joe Biden is a true blue believer in gun control. I think he really does believe that this country would be better off if tens of millions of Americans had their AR-15s taken from them. If every lawful American was told you can't own or possess a modern sporting rifle or a quote unquote large capacity magazine, he's not just paying lip service to the gun control groups. He really does buy into this.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, what's interesting is I think it was back in the 80s as a senator, we actually have testimony from him on the Senate floor where he said just passing laws doesn't make bad guys, that doesn't keep guns out of the hands of bad guys. So at least at one time, there was a partially functioning brain there, which just seems to be totally gone now. And you're absolutely right. He is 100% all in for let's just ban all the guns so it will be safer, except for people like him, because you can be sure he will be surrounded by lots of guns. So once again, rules for thee, not for me.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I don't, you know, I guess he's evolved over the years, right, to now believe in that. Yeah. Oh, no, all we got to do is pass some laws. Listen, Eric, thank you so much for joining me on the program today. It is always good spending some time with you. Thank you for everything that you're doing, GOA is doing around the country. Congratulations on constitutional carry in Louisiana. Looks like we're going to get it done in South Carolina as well. So, you know, the threats are real, but the progress we're making is real as well. And I don't want gun owners to get discouraged. I know that it is frustrating that we're not where we want to be. But you know what? We are, I think, improving the status quo for gun owners and Second Amendment supporters every day. And that is in large part thanks to the efforts of groups like GOA.
Well, thank you, Cam. I totally agree with that. We are making progress. I know, you know, we tend to focus a lot on the threats, and that's appropriate to do so. But we are winning, and elections do have consequences. That's why we are winning in Louisiana and South Carolina, and why even just this week in the Congress, you know, we got the veterans gun ban. It's going to be repealed. I mean, all this comes about because of people's action. People like you, Cam, so appreciate what you do and just keeping people informed. I mean, that's essential as well, because, you know, we need to stay educated. And, you know, that's the first step to being activated and motivated to take action and amplify people's voices. So, you know, it's a great symbiotic relationship here where, you know, we can inform people and then get them activated to see these victories, you know, being realized. So thanks for what you're doing, too, Cam.
No, I really appreciate it. Look forward to doing this again soon, Eric. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. You too, sir. Take care.
My thanks to Eric for joining me on the program today. Looking forward to talking with him once again. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We will start there with a situation in Albuquerque, where the Juvenile Detention Center has turned away Albuquerque teenagers who have been charged with pretty serious crimes involving the use of a firearm. Yeah, not something, by the way, that Governor Grisham wants to talk about, right? Should prefer to go after lawful gun owners, but as a KOAT reports, when the Albuquerque Police Department recently arrested five juveniles in two separate incidents involving teenagers found to be possessing guns illegally, the juveniles were released to their parents at the scene, right? Not even taken into custody for an hour or two. Why? Well, according to KOAT, it's because of overcrowding and understaffing at the Bernalillo County Youth Detention Center. Spokesperson for the Albuquerque Police Department wrote a news release that, quote, while the teens met the criteria for juvenile detention, the Bernalillo County Juvenile Detention Center denied to detain them due to understaffing and overpopulation. According to the police department, auto theft detectives got an activation about a bait car. After four juveniles stole a city-owned vehicle from a deployment location, the detectives monitored surveillance footage from inside that bait car while the four teens drove the stolen vehicle through neighborhoods, apartment complexes, and entertainment districts throughout the city. Shortly thereafter, officers disabled the stolen vehicle while the juveniles exited before it came to a complete stop. The juveniles then captured on surveillance video passing a gun around from one to another, as well as pointing the gun outside of the car window while they were leaving the vehicle. Those, again, taken, well, not even taken into custody, arrested at the scene, charged with unlawful taking of a motor vehicle, unlawful possession of a handgun, tampering with evidence, resisting, evading, and obstructing an officer, and still let go to their parents. In the other incident, officials received a shots fired call at an IHOP. This was this past Sunday. According to the police, a 17-year-old brandished a firearm while threatening employees and customers inside. Victim stated to police that the suspect was, quote, verbally aggressive before hearing gunshots fired. The victims exited the restaurant, spotted the suspect leaving the scene in a white Toyota Tacoma. The suspect taken into custody shortly thereafter. Two of the juveniles that were arrested in that case, currently on active probation, and at least one of them now charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, negligent use of a deadly weapon, and again, released to his parents at the scene. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Now, one of the folks with the Albuquerque Police Department says that over the weekend, we were at a ratio of 8-1 regarding the facility. So you have to have 8 employees, basically, for every person in custody. And they had already met that ratio. They said that they also had a couple of disturbances inside of the juvenile detention facility at the same time that these individuals were supposed to be, you know, taken in for processing. But the police department spokesperson said the main reason really was that ratio of resident to staff had been met and is continuing to be met at 44. So basically, you can only have 44 juveniles in custody at any given time. If you've got somebody accused of a serious crime and they're number 45, they get spit back out on the streets and return to their parents. Yeah, that seems like a big problem, doesn't it? And again, something completely unaddressed by Governor Grisham this year. And she chose to go after lawful gun owners with what eventually became a 7-day waiting period for gun sales, concealed carry holders exempt. There's also the ban on concealed carry near polling places. Once again, concealed carry holders exempt. What a waste of time for the governor to, again, continue to try to target those folks who are exercising their Second Amendment rights while turning a blind eye to what's going on with juvenile crime in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. Remember, the governor tried to ban concealed carry in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County, right? Lawful concealed carry. Meanwhile, you've got, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds who aren't old enough to carry a gun. When they get caught with a gun, even when shots are fired, the consequences are, well, almost nothing, right? All right, today's armed citizen story. This is a weird one from Alaska, where a competitor in this year's Iditarod race was forced to kill a moose in self-defense after the moose started tangling with the musher's dogs. I mean, honestly, it's scary enough to think about having to use a firearm against a home intruder, but a huge animal like a moose. Dallas Seavey told officials with the Iditarod trail sled dog race on Monday morning that he was forced to shoot the moose with a handgun in self-defense after the moose, quote, became entangled with the dogs and the musher. Seavey said he had urged officials to get the moose off the trail. He said it fell on my sled. It was sprawled on the trail. He said, I got it the best I could, but it was ugly. Now, Seavey not the first to actually have to defend himself and his dogs while out running the race, although it's been a while. In 1985, Susan Butcher was actually leading the Iditarod race when she used an axe at a parka to fend off a moose. That moose killed 2 of her dogs, injured 13 others, and another musher had to kill the moose. Butcher quit that race. She went on to win 4 other Iditarods before passing away from leukemia at the age of 51 in 2006. Apparently, Iditarod officials have planned for this. There is a rule that if you are forced to kill a big game animal like a moose, caribou, the musher has to gut the animal and then report the death to race officials at the next checkpoint. Any mushers that come up on the scene are also told that they have to help gut the animal whenever possible. Race Marshal Warren Palfrey says that they'll continue to gather information about the encounter as it pertains to the rules, but again, this appears to be an act of self-defense and defense of dogs there on the part of Dallas Seavey. Finally, today's good deed of the day, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A deputy in Florida who saved a woman from a vehicle shortly before it became engulfed in flames, having had my own car burst into flames and having helped others from serious car accidents, I can tell you this is a scary situation. Deputy Bellamy with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department responded to a call of a car crash back on February 26th. When he got there, he was able to help the 70-year-old woman inside the car escape, asking her, you know, are you injured? Are you okay? At one point, he says, hey, you know, let's get you out of the car because it's on fire. And thankfully, was able to extricate the woman from the vehicle. Woman sustained minor injuries, taken to a nearby hospital, but she has since recovered. The sheriff there in the Hillsborough County, Sheriff Chad Cronister, says that Deputy Bellamy's swift and selfless response undoubtedly saved a life in a critical moment. His courage and quick thinking exemplify our deputy's dedication to serving and protecting our community. So in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Deputy Bellamy, we thank you for your very good deed. That is all the time we've got for you on this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Looking forward to being back with you again tomorrow. And be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day for keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information. Constitutional carry signed into law in Louisiana. Looks like it's going to be law in South Carolina as well, as lawmakers have finally gotten on the same page with a constitutional carry bill. That is very good news. But we've got much more to report on at BearingArms.com. We look forward to seeing you there. We look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow as well. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.